بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله. Respected lovers of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. Allah's Habib صلى الله عليه وسلم came into this world in the month of Rabi al-Awwal. And what a barakah he became to this universe. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah depicts this in such a beautiful manner, where he describes the condition of the world in his books of history. And then he says, what a change Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. How he liberated women. How he showed humanity kindness. How he taught humanity compassion. What a change was brought through Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's birth to this world. What a change happened in this entire universe that Allama Busiri rahimahullah described so beautifully in his Burda. Allah give us tawfiq to learn those works. And Allah give us tawfiq to continuously send salutations upon his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, we are indebted to him. There's a hadith in Ibn Majah in regards to a sahabi, Amr bin Rafi' bin Mikhdaj radiyallahu anhu, a youngster in Medina. He says, I was a little boy. I was from the Banu Ghifad tribe, far away from Medina. We came to Medina Munawwara, and I would take people's fruit from their trees, jump into their farms, climb the trees, take their fruit. Anyway, a sahabi complains about my practice to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then one day he catches me, he holds me tight, and he takes me to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes this young boy and lovingly says to him, young man, don't climb on into people's property, get onto their trees, taking their property. It's not permissible for you. If something had fallen down, then it's a different matter. And then Allah's Nabi made dua for me. Ashba' Allahu batnahu, Allahumma ashba' batnahu, O Allah, you satiate this child. Allah is hungry, Allah you satiate him. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him duas. This youngster says, then Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his sahabi one side and he says to him that he was ignorant and you didn't teach him. Ma allamtahu idh kana jahilan. You didn't teach him appropriately when he was ignorant. Wa ma at'amtahu idh kana saghiban. And you didn't feed him when he was hungry. Subhanallah. What a method of love and compassion was Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he won the hearts of people. Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another important event that takes place in Rabi'ul Awwal as well. What else takes place? It was the famous incident of the Hijrah. The Hijrah of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a journey it was. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from beforehand. Because the people of Medina Munawwara, for the few years before the Hijrah, were meeting Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and were returning with the teachings of Islam to Medina Munawwara. Then Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mus'ab bin Umayr radiyallahu anhu and Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiyallahu anhu to teach the deen of Allah. And they were residing in Medina Munawwara under the care of As'ad bin Zurara radiyallahu anhu. Then 13th year Dhul-Hijjah, Hajj takes place. 70 of the people of Medina Munawwara with two sahabiyat came to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he taught them, he guided them, and then they requested, please O Nabi of Allah, how much more are you going to go through in Makkah Mukarramah? How much more are the Meccans going to torture you and hurt you? See how Islam unites hearts. The Medinans and the Meccans had so much of love for each other, care for each other, worry for each other, concern for each other. Then it was Muharram when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sahaba radiallahu anhum to make the Hijrah, to undertake this amazing journey of Hijrah, the migration, to leave the lands where they were being tortured, the lands where they suffered, but they preserved and protected their iman. Now the command of Allah came for them to depart, but Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to hold on. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu comes to seek the permission of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi says, Abu Bakr, you wait. Everyone else was permitted to depart. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was halted. You wait. As-Sahba ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, is it because you're allowing me, the honor of being in your khidmah. You're allowing me to make your khidmah on this journey. Abu Bakr cried profusely in shukr and in joy that Allah, you're allowing me to be in the company of your Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this journey. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time, just at that time, the Meccans couldn't bear the spread of Islam. Quran speaks of their discussion. They had gathered in their parliament and they had discussed what are the steps to take to stop the spread of Islam. Some opinions came that we have to chase Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Makkah. The response was given, wherever you're going to send him, wherever you would exile him, he would invite to his cause and people there would change and you would then still be defeated. Another opinion was to incarcerate him, keep him in captivity. The response was, if you were you to do this, his Sahaba would give his lives, their lives, radiallahu anhum, to save him and rescue him and protect him. Because it is their passion and their love to serve their Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the next opinion was that of Abu Jahl's. He says, we have to gather 10 people from the most senior tribes, strong men, to surround Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's house. And as he departs from his home, would all to pounce onto him and kill him at one and the same time. And then when his family asked for the blood money, we all would all want to fight back. They would not consider fighting against 10 of the mightiest of tribes. Then they would accept the blood money and together we would put together the 100 camels and pay it to the Banu Hashim. This opinion was endorsed by the devil himself, who had participated in the consultation of falsehood. Allah Ta'ala save us. The Meccans wanted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Habibullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam departs from his home, Allah Ta'ala protected him, they could not see him. He left Ali radiallahu anhu on his bedding to keep his, to return the amanat, the trusts that were kept by him, by the Meccans. Anything of value would be preserved by the Habib of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of his integrity and honesty. Ali radiallahu anhu was appointed to return those trusts and depart after another 3 days. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves. Quran speaks, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Imagine they are surrounding his home. He passes them, they don't see him. And when he departs, he goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and together from there, they leave in the direction of Yemen, in the direction towards Yemen, and they go into this cave. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu making khidmah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because both of them were trying not to leave behind tracks. Because the Meccans were master trackers. They were master trackers. And the discussion, our discussion today, is about one of those professional trackers. One of those professional trackers. Four amongst the people of Arabia and Hijaz and Muqaddas were masters in tracking footsteps or hunting people down. They were none other than Suraqah ibn Malik ibn Ju'shum radiallahu anhu, Urwah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Bishr ibn Mu'alla and Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhum. These four were professional in this work and in this profession. So Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, were not to leave any tracks. And finally, when they reach this cave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu insists, O Nabi of Allah, allow me to enter the cave. And he cleans out the cave. He sweeps it. And he stuffs any openings of that cave to make sure that nothing harmful from there comes to harm Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he tears pieces of his lungi to stuff it in those openings. And then there was one specific hole that was uncovered and he didn't have anything else to put in. He put his foot inside there. And when he made and he prepared this cave, he called for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to enter. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters this cave. It was the last few days of Safar when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was blessed to be in the company of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a companionship. What a companionship. And in this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was stung from that hole. And he tries not to move, not to awaken Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his tears fall on the blessed Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi says, Abu Bakr, what's the matter? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I have been stung. May my parents be ransomed for you. May my parents be sacrificed for you, O Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his saliva and places it on the wound of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, on the injury, on the point of where he was stung. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was instantaneously cured. They remained for 3 days in this cave. It was a Friday night, the Saturday night, and the Sunday night. And then started the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son, Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, would come there and bring any information. Because he would be in Makkah, any information, he would bring it to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he would actually make an effort to cover the tracks. Because then Amir bin Fuhayra, who was a man who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu purchased and liberated, he would bring the flock to cover the footsteps of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son was bringing information. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's daughters were preparing meals for them. Aisha radiallahu anha and Asma radiallahu anha. And Asma radiallahu anha was bringing the meals for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for those 3 days. And then it was Rabi'ul Awwal, when Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's companionship, the third being Abdullah bin Urayqit, and the fourth being Amir bin Fuhayra radiallahu anhum, depart on this Mubarak journey in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. They are heading towards Medina Munawwara. But a different route was taken. It was a completely different route. They had the guidance of Abdullah bin Urayqit, who wasn't a Muslim yet. Allah gives him hidayat later on. Amir bin Fuhayra was good in this task as well. They took another route, and the Meccans were searching for them high and low. What enticed the Meccans more to even search for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the prize that was offered of 100 camels. There's a report that mentions in Thimarul Qulub that one day Suraqa was actually brought to see the track. And when he sees this footstep of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a science called qiyafa, where you see a footprint and you would recognize whose footprint it actually is. And when he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's footprint, he looks at it and he says that this is the exact footprint of the man whose foot is there in Maqam Ibrahim alayhi salam. Anyway, Suraqa, in the riwayah of Bukhari, Suraqa radiallahu anhu says, whilst we were sitting amongst our people, some men who were searching for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to us as we were sitting together. And they said, O Suraqa, we saw some shadows on this road here. Suraqa says, I realized it was them. But I said, because I wanted the 100 camels. No, it's actually not. Those were some people that left under our supervision. I said to these men. He said, I waited for a while, not to arouse their desire to also do the same. And I get up, I said to my servant to prepare my horse, and I told her where I would wait for her. And at that time, I collected the horse from there, prepared my spear, and I left from another secret exit from my home. And I kept my spear low. فَخَطَّطْتُ بِزُجِّهِ الْأَرْضَ I kept my spear low, not to leave any trace of my actual intention or plan. وَخَفَّضْتُ عَالِيَهُ حَتَّى أَتَيْتُ فَرَسِي فَرَكِبْتُهَا I lowered my spear, keeping it low, keeping myself quiet. I got onto my horse and I galloped towards that direction. And as I'm going towards them, I'm galloping at top speed, as is reported in the riwayah of Bukhari. فَعَثَرَتْ بِي فَرَسِي فَخَرَرْتُ عَنْهَا My horse tripped, and I fell off. This was something very strange for me. Anyway, I then put my hand onto my quiver, and I took out my arrows, and Arabs would do this. They would call this divining arrows, asking guidance of what should I do. أَضُرُّهُمْ أَمْ لَا Should I continue the chase or not? He says, as I casted these lots, the response that I didn't want came out, meaning telling me not to go forward. But I went against the lots and I continued my chase. And as I'm galloping, I see them. to such an extent, حتى إذا سمعت قراءة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, I could hear رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم's تلاوة of the Quran. He was going forward and he wasn't looking back. الله أكبر. Allah give us توفيق to be people of Quran. Wherever we are, read Quran. On journey, read Quran. At home, read Quran. Wherever we go, wherever we travel, wherever we are, let's recite the Quran al-Kareem. Quran will keep us calm. Quran will keep us connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is kalamullah. Allah give us tawfiq to connect to Quran all our life. Allama Abu Siri rahimahullah describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's different miracles. And then he comes to the chapter of the Quran wherein he describes, where he says, let me describe to you the greatest miracle. After all the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are described in his poem, then he starts another poem or another chapter saying, مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم دعني وواصف آيات له ظهرات ظهورنا للقراء ليلا على عالمي. He says, allow me to describe to you many miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayatin of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zaharat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's miracle, this one, is so apparent, is so clear. Zuhurana lil qira, as apparent as the big fire of hospitality. The Arabs of generosity, they were people of generosity. They would build their homes on high mountains, and then they would look for a fire very high, or a spot quite high on the mountain, and kindle a big fire. And they would cook meals there. Why they would kindle the fire on the mountain? So that everyone could see and could come and partake of meals. Even at night, at a distance, kilometers away, that fire would be noticed and people would be welcome. So he says, like that fire cannot be missed. The Quran is such a miracle. Nay, every ayah of the Quran is a miracle on its own. That's what he describes. Then he goes into different aspects of the Quran, wherein he says, Quran is so great. لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِزَمَانٍ وَهِيَ تُخْبِرُنَا عَنِ الْمَعَادِ وَعَنْ عَادٍ وَعَنْ إِرَامِ دَامَتْ لَدَيْنَا فَفَاقَتْ كُلَّ مُعْجِزَةٍ مِنَ النَّبِيِّنَ إِذْ جَاءَتْ وَلَمْ تَدُومِ مَوْلَايَ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ دَائِمًا أَبَدًا عَلَى حَبِيبِكَ خَيْرِ الْخَلْقِ كُلِّهِمِ. He says, the miracle of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran, is a timeless miracle. لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِزَمَانٍ, is a timeless miracle. It passes and it transcends all times. And it informs us and it educates us عَنِ الْمَعَادِ, about the future. وَعَنْ عَادٍ, and about عَاد, and about إِرَمْ. Iram was the nation of Shaddad, the famous story of Shaddad. So Quran refers to all these incidents of the past and the future. And then he says, Damat ladayna, this miracle of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remains with us forever. Fafaqat kulla mu'jizatin, and this miracle of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, namely the Quran, excels every miracle. Because even the miracles of all the Anbiya alayhimu salam, yes, were presented. وَلَمْ تَدُومِ, but they didn't remain with us. But the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may every ayah of the Qur'an being the miracle, and it remains with us. Every ayah of the Qur'an is another miracle on its own. And he says, لها معان كموج البحر في مددي وفوق جوهره في الحسن والقيام. The meanings of the Quran are as vast and abundant like the waves of the ocean, in increase and in depth and in abundance and in power. And then he says, more than that,
And just like the ocean has jewels and gems and beautiful ornaments of value, rubies and emeralds and pearls, he says the pearls and the gems and the jewels and the value of the Quran is fawqa, excels the valuable items in the ocean also. وَفَوْقَ جَوْهَرِهِ فِي الْحُسْنِ وَالْقِيَامِ in beauty and in value. فَمَا تُعَادُ وَلَا تُحْصَى عَجَائِبُهَا وَلَا تُسَامُ عَلَى الْإِكْثَارِ بِالسَّآمِ. He says, the amazing miracles of the Quran can never be counted also, can never be encompassed also. فَمَا تُعَدُّ. And then he says, no matter how many times you would recite the Quran and make tilawa of the Quran, you would never ever become bored. وَلَا تُسَامُ عَلَى الْإِكْثَارِ بِالسَّأَمِ. Sa'am is boredom. Despite how many times you recite Kalamullah. He says, قَرَّتْ بِهَا عَيْنُ قَارِهَا فَقُرْتُ لَهُ لَقَدْ ظَفِيرْتَ بِحَابْلِ اللَّهِ فَاعْتَصِمِ. The eye of the reciter would become cooled and he'll find peace when reciting the Quran. Calmness. So he said, I would advise him that so fortunate you are to hold on to Allah's rope, so stick to it firmly, hold on to it tightly. Then he says, even if you recite the Quran for any challenge, Allah will solve that challenge. Allah will remove that difficulty. Allah will cure your sickness. Allah will alleviate your pain. Because earlier he says that no matter how many times you recite the Quran, you would never get bored. Then he says that sometimes a person tries to claim that he doesn't find sweetness in this. He says this is actually the sickness of the heart. So he puts it this way, لَا تَعْجَبًا لِحَسُودٍ رَاحَ يُنْكِرُهَا تَجَاهُلًا وَهُوَ عَيْنُ الْحَادِقِ الْفَاهِمِ قَدْ تُنْكِرُ الْعَيْنُ ضَوْءَ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ رَمَادٍ وَيُنْكِرُ الْفَمُ طَعْمَ الْمَاءِ مِنْ سَاقَمِ مَوْلَايَ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ دَائِمًا أَبَدًا عَلَى حَبِيبِكَ خَيْرِ الْخَلْقِ كُلِّهِمِ. He says, don't become astonished that someone who is very jealous of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, namely the Quran, the Kalam-e-Paak, he now denies its effect. Tajahulan, not ignorantly. He's pretending that it doesn't affect his heart, but in actual fact he knows how effective is the Quran-e-Kareem. He understands. That is why Abu Jahl and his cronies would deny the Quran outwardly, but at night when Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite Kalam-e-Paak in tahajjud, they would hide in the corners of the haram listening to the Kalamullah azza wa jal, because that is how sweet and effective and is this the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allama Busiri rahimahullah puts it this way. He says, sometimes the eye denies the brightness of the sun. This is not possible. But because there is sickness in that eye, ramad, and sometimes the mouth denies the taste of something sweet because of sickness, or water because of sickness. Like for example, you show a person the most expensive itar, and he says, no, this is not, it doesn't have any scent. It's not the itar that is the problem. It's actually the sickness that is in this person. So when we read the Quran al-Kareem and we're not taking effect, this is because of our ail, this is our sick and diseased hearts. That's why Uthman radiallahu anhu beautifully presents to the Ummah this advice. He says, cleanse the heart. لو أن قلوبنا طهرت ما شبعنا من كلام ربنا. If our hearts were only clean, we would never get tired of reading Kalamullah Azza wa Jal. Allah give us tawfiq to recite all the time. So Suraqa radiallahu anhu then says, I could hear the tilawa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wasn't looking back. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would repeatedly look behind. And at that time, my horse sunk into the ground again until it reached in it till the knees of the horse. I fell off. I tried to spur it on to get out again, but it was not coming out of the ground. And then I see in front of me a thick amount of smoke covering everything ahead of me. I then casted lots
again, and then again, فَخَرَجَ الَّذِي أَكْرَهُ, the answer not expected or not wanted by me came out. I then asked them for peace. I got onto my horse, I came to them, and I realized that this is a man of Allah, and definitely he would come out victorious because he has Allah on his side. So I said to him that definitely, certainly your people have asked, have promised diyah, 100 camels for your life. This is what they want, but really I want to have peace with you all. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, we do not need anything from you. And they didn't take anything from me. But they did say, at least conceal the path for us. And then I asked, O Nabi of Allah, can you give me some amnesty? Because I know certainly you are to be victorious. He instructed Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu anhu to write for me on a piece of skin a letter of amnesty when Suraqah does decide to come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that letter was presented to Suraqah. This is one hadith. The other hadith of Bukhari mentions that Suraqah radiallahu anhu sinks, his horse sinks into the ground 3 times before this happens. And then also, the reasons of why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would repeatedly look back was because he's worried about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not worried about himself in the least. Then the hadith mentions, and this hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif repeatedly and all the books of Sirah, like Ibn Sa'ad and all of them. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to Suraqah certain events to take place in future. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Suraqah, kayfa bika? What do you think your condition would be when you would wear on you the crown jewels of the mighty king Kisra bin Hormuz? Suraqah was shocked when Allah's Nabi is saying to him, كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارَي كِسْرَى وَمِنْتَقَتَهُ وَتَاجَهُ. What do you think your condition would be? You would wear the crown of Kisra, his belt, and his jewels. Suraqah was shocked. You mean Kisra bin Hormuz, the famous superpower, the famous emperor, the famous ruler of Persia? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, correct. Suraqah was shocked. And Iman touched his heart. Anyway, he requests Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that please take one of my arrows. This belongs to me. But when you go further, you will come past my farm. And just show them this arrow and they'll give you whatever you need. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, we don't need any of your goods. Do not worry. Just keep the road clear for us. And Suraqah radiallahu anhu did exactly that. He returns to Makkah Mukarramah. And he sees people coming on that route. And he says to them that I searched this road, there's nothing to worry about on this road here. There's nothing to worry about. Few days later, when he hears that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam safely arrived in Medina Munawwara, he now starts to narrate to them his encounter with Habibullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then through that, people started taking more effect towards Islam in Medina Munawwara. Abu Jahl hears about Suraqah bin Malik and his encounter. He becomes so upset, reprimanding Suraqah about his encounter and why didn't he still capture Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Abu Jahl renders poetry saying, Bani Mudlajin inni akhafu safihakum Suraqah mustaghwin li nasr Muhammadi alaykum bihi alla yufarriq jam'akum fatusbih shatta ba'da 'izzin wa su'dudi. O Banu Mudlaj, what is the matter with you? There's fools amongst you like Suraqah who are trying to mislead people and help Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Capture him, meaning Suraqah, before he splits your union and he disunites you and he disgraces you after you have reached great levels of honor. And in that, Suraqah, who was a very eloquent man, he hears about Abu Jahl's statement and he responded to Abu Jahl in Arabic that is so fluent and eloquent. wherein he says, Aba Hakamin Wallahi Law Kunta Shahidan, Aba Hakamin Wallahi Law Kunta Shahidan, Liamri Jawadi Iftasihu Qawaimu, Ajibta Walam Tashkuk Bi Anna Muhammadan, Nabiyun Bi Burhanin Faman Dha Yuqawimu, Alayka Bi Kaffi Al-Qawmi Anhu Bi Annani, Ara Amrahu Yawman Satabdu Ma'alimu, Bi Amrin Tawaddu An-Nasu Fihi Bi Asrihim, Bi Anna Jami'a An-Nas Turan Musalimu, O Abu al-Hakam, if you only saw what I saw when I came into contact with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my horse sunk into the ground, you would become astonished and you would realize without a shadow of doubt that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah with clear proof from Allah, and he is such that no one can stand up against him. فَمَنْ ذَا يُقَوِمُ. That's why you also should defend him, because really one day he will shine even more and the world would know him and the world would love his way. The world in humanity, the entire dunya in totality would all come to Islam. بِأَنَّ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ طُرًّا مُسَالِمُ. The whole of humanity will come to him to make peace. This was the message of Suraqah radiallahu anhu to Abu Jahl. Anyway, this incident did create hostility between Suraqah radiallahu anhu and Abu Jahl. So even though Suraqah hadn't yet portrayed kalima and embraced and hadn't taken the big step yet, that happens at the right time. But because he had the softness towards Islam, Abu Jahl detested him. And it was during Badr when Abu Jahl feared that Suraqah could attack him from the rear because of his love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is why Shaytan, not wanting Abu Jahl to retreat in Badr, and he wanted Abu Jahl to fight the Muslims, he participated, meaning the devil, Shaytan, participated in Badr in the form of Suraqah radiallahu anhu. And when he saw the malaika, he runs into the ocean. And we'll find in history the mushrikeen saying, Suraqah, where you going? Come here. But actually that was Shaytan to reassure them that Suraqah would not attack you all. But actually it wasn't Suraqah, because Suraqah radiallahu anhu did love Islam and Allah brought him afterwards. Anyway, Suraqah remained amongst his people. Deen was in his heart and the love for deen. But Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah Mukarramah and he went to Hunain, and Allah ta'ala gave Muslims victory there. After Taif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Ji'irrana, waiting for the people of Hunain to come to him, because he was hoping to be good to them. They wanted to fight him. That's why he fought, and the Muslims were victorious in the battle of Hunain, as the Quran speaks of this expedition and that battle. But he waited for them because he wanted to show them kindness, he wanted to forgive them, he wanted to make their ikram, and also because his foster mother was from that same tribe, and his foster sister Shayma radiallahu anhun were from that tribe. And more so, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy unto humanity. So he waited for them and they came afterwards. But amongst the people that came at that time was Suraqah radiallahu anhu. And he came with some ansar, and he wasn't reaching Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because all the sahaba radiallahu anhum were crowded around him, and he tried with difficulty. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his camel, and Suraqah says, I could see the shins of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his foot in his stirrup, and he was so beautiful. I raised the letter and I said, O Nabi of Allah, this is the letter you wrote to me. I am Suraqah bin Malik bin Ju'shum. Allah's Nabi says, definitely it is a time of loyalty and fulfillment. Come closer, come closer. I came closer and I read the Shahada before the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Suraqah radiallahu anhu, then Allah blessed him with this opportunity. He spent time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sacrificed for Allah ta'ala's deen, and whatever opportunities he had there, he benefited from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning the sunnah, learning the deen, learning the ahadith, and he valued those moments and those days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Then came the Khilafah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, where he took Islam into Persia and then into Rome. And then was the Khilafah of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, where Persia was defeated completely. And Kisra was defeated and he was conquered. And his jewels and his royal jewelry and the valuables of Persia, of Hira, of Madain, and the regions of Persia was pouring into Medina Munawwara. Umar radiallahu anhu was very, very emotional. And in this he says, "O Allah, your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so great. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is much better than me. Allah, you know the wisdom that you didn't let this booty come into Medina Munawwara during their period of time. O Allah, I seek your protection from this ever being a sign of your anger towards me. O Allah, let it not be your rewards that you give me or you are promising to be in this world." And Umar radiallahu anhu was worried about this. And in this, as these jewels were brought before Umar radiallahu anhu, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, because Sa'ad radiallahu anhu sent the crown jewels of Kisra and his swords and his belts and whatever valuables of those regions that were conquered. And Umar radiallahu anhu looked at everyone. And he sees that the tallest of them was Suraqa bin Malik. So he says, "Ya Suraq, qum falbas." Suraq, come here. Put on these crown jewels. Put on these royal jewelry. Let's see how it looks on you. Suraqa radiallahu anhu says, "I put it on." Umar says, "Come, walk this way. Walk that way. Adbir, fa adbartu." Then he says, "Come here." And Umar radiallahu anhu says, "Ajeeb. A'uirabiyum min Bani Mudlaj," a small little Bedouin from the Banu Mudlaj tribe, wearing the jewels of Kisra and his crown and his shoes. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And Umar radiallahu anhu started to cry that, "Oh Allah, this happens in my time. Let it not be that you are upset with me." And then Umar radiallahu anhu instructed Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu that those booties and these valuables should be sold and it would be distributed amongst the ummah. He didn't want to keep the jewels like that because Umar radiallahu anhu and Sahaba radiallahu anhum wanted people to wear the embellishments of this dunya. That to make Suraqa wear it for those moments was just the fulfillment of the prophecy of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when Allah showed him the future on that Mubarak journey of Hijrah that took place in Rabi'ul Awwal when he looked at Suraqa bin Malik who was behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to capture Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam but such an individual Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him that gaze of mercy, that gaze of dua, that gaze of compassion. This was Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto humanity. And Allah showed him during that journey of Hijrah, which was Rabi'ul Awwal, which was the first year of our calendar. The calendar starts from there. Now years later, over 20 years later, Allah Ta'ala brings to pass the crowns and the valuables of the greatest superpower at that time because those people were given something better, which is Islam. What a life Suraqa radiallahu anhu lived. Like all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they continued to impart the deen of Allah. And this is what they were devoted in doing. They were devoted to this. That beautiful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passed on to the ummah through the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He himself narrates 19 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated in all the books of hadith, and his children narrate these hadith from him. His son Muhammad bin Suraqa bin Malik radiallahu anhu, his brother Malik bin Ju'shum radiallahu anhu, and his nephew Abdurrahman bin Malik radiallahu anhu, and like that senior Sahaba like Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhuma, Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma narrate the ahadith of Suraqa bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Some of the amazing ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Suraqa radiallahu anhu shares with the ummah. One is that of Musnad Ahmad and Tabrani, where Suraqa radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Suraqa, let me inform you
of who is a Jannati and who is a Jahannami. أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَهْلِ النَّارِ. Let me inform you of who are the people of Jannah and who are the people of Jahannam. Please, indeed, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do teach me. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people of Jahannam are فَكُلُّ جَعْظَرِيٍّ جَوَّاضٍ مُسْتَكْبِرٍ, are the haughty, harsh, hard-hearted, arrogant ones. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. Allah save us from cruelty. Allah save us from harshness. Allah save us from belittling others. Allah save us from looking down upon others. Because such natures, such character will lead a person to Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. Then Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches Suraqa radiallahu anhu, O Suraqa, the people of Jannat are the humbled ones. Al-Maghluboon, those who give in. Those who give in for Allah's pleasure. Those who allow others the last say. Those who allow others the better thing. Those who allow others and give in to others for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are soft, they are humble, they are merciful. فَالدُّعَفَاءُ الْمَغْلُوبُونَ. Allahu Akbar. In one hadith, Suraqa radiallahu anhu teaches the ummah that Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كُنْتُ آمِرًا أَحَدًا أَنْ يَسْجُدَ لِأَحَدٍ لَأَمَرْتُ الْمَرْأَةَ أَنْ تَسْجُدَ لِزَوْجِهَا. No human should bow down to any human being. No makhluq must make sajda to makhluq. No makhluq worships makhluq. If it was allowed, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I would instruct the wife to make sajda before the husband. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to fulfill each other's rights and show respect to each other and show compassion to the ummah of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suraqa radiallahu anhu, all his life, he imparted the deen of Allah Ta'ala to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he left this world during the khilafah of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu in the year 24 Hijri. Allah give us tawfiq. A believer's life is to learn the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our life should be devoted to this. Humanity doesn't know our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is rahmatul lil alameen. Quran says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O my Nabi, you are Allah's mercy. Allah has sent you as a mercy unto the entire humanity, unto the whole of Allah's creation. Let us also show humanity this merciful Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq. Humanity doesn't know our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I have to share his beautiful life to the whole of humanity. Look at the people of South Africa. Who in our country knows about our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who knows about our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I'm not only speaking about our Muslims. Muslims are not even 3%. The 97% of our country, are they to be deprived of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful life? The information they are getting are from the wrong avenues. Who is to introduce them to the true akhlaq and character and teachings and life of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is his Mubarak life only for us? Is our life to be so selfish? What about 97% of our country and the majority of the whole world out there? Whose duty is it to fulfill this responsibility? If there was another Nabi to come, you and I can remain silent and stay at home and go to the masjid and come back and live our lives the way we are doing. But Allah forgive us. Mind you, respected listeners, our duty is to share his Mubarak lifestyle to the whole of humanity. Men have to make effort on men. Women have to make effort on women. And we have to make effort on the entire humanity and show them who is our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.